Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and to close the program today, we're going to spend a few minutes reflecting on the life and career of one of New York City's most revered investigative reporters, Wayne Barrett. He appeared on our show more than 40 times during his career. Barrett spent 37 years at the Village Voice, where he wrote exposés on former New York Mayor Ed Koch, examined the record of then-Secretary of Housing and Urban Development and now New York Governor Andrew Cuomo when he was at HUD, discovered patronage to Democratic loyalists during the Giuliani administration, and published one of the first in-depth investigative biographies of, guess who, Donald Trump. Joining me now to discuss the life and career of Wayne Barrett is one of his former colleagues from his days at The Voice, Tom Robbins, who is now an investigative journalist in residence at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. When Wayne's career at The Voice ended in 2010 due to the paper's financial struggles and their decision that they didn't need him anymore, Tom Robbins resigned in solidarity with Wayne. Hi, Tom. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And I want to start with a clip, and maybe for the sake of people who weren't familiar with Wayne Barrett, one of the times he was on the show was February 2008, when he was celebrating his 30th anniversary at the Village Voice, and I asked him how he viewed the city after 30 years of reporting here.
You know, I'm a country boy from Lynchburg, Virginia. And
are you really?
Yes, and I still have Jerry Falwell's hometown is my hometown, so I still have an awful lot of the country boy naivete in me, and I always expect tomorrow's going to be a better day. I don't think I'm jaded in any way by this, really. I think I've seen outstanding people in public life in New York. I've written critical stories about the people I regard as outstanding. I would say Ruth Messenger, Mark Green are two of the outstanding people I've covered over the years. But you look at my copy on them, I probably wrote the toughest copy on them that was written.
No doubt.
And, you know,
some of it anyway.
Yeah, I do believe that there are good people and there are bad people in politics. I also believe there are good people who do bad things in politics, who need to be upbraided for that and need to be examined.
Wayne Barrett on this show in 2008. So, Tom, you want to start there and talk about maybe the essence of Wayne Barrett and what made him a unique investigative reporter?
You gave a pretty good description right there. You know, Wayne was an equal opportunity muckraker. You know, he definitely was a man of great passions and believed things very strongly. But one really good example is that just within an hour after Wayne died, Senator Chuck Schumer put out this wonderful tweet where he said, if there's a flaw in heaven, we'll know it shortly because Wayne Barrett will be there and he'll be writing about it. And what's interesting about that is that Wayne had written stories about the 1998 race that really helped Schumer get over the top in his race against Al D'Amato. But before that, Wayne and his mentor, Jack Newfield at The Voice, had tried to put Chuck Schumer in jail for a long time.
Really? For what?
So, yeah, that was one of the things, as he just described to you, that I think was really admirable about him, was that he always focused on the sin and not the sinner. You know, he was going back and forth.
Another indication of that, I got a statement from former Mayor Michael Bloomberg in my inbox on Friday, just because I'm on his very large list, lamenting the death of Wayne Barrett and saying what, you know, an icon and somebody at the pinnacle of what journalism is really all about he is. And I know Wayne slammed Michael Bloomberg on many an occasion.
He did indeed. And before that, Ed Koch, who was the subject of Jack Newfield and Wayne's book City for Sale, the seminal account of corruption in the Koch era, later called his reporting superb.
Does that make him different from other investigative reporters for some reason? Or do you think politicians and business people who are, you know, the brunt of their investigations often come out with that kind of respect?
Sometimes. But Wayne, I think, made a point that he really was willing to talk to you about any issue at any time, regardless of what he may have written before. He didn't make presumptions about, oh, you're a bad guy. I think there might have been a couple exceptions to that rule. But I think that he was very different in terms of his preconceptions about people than many reporters that I know.
You know, I didn't remember Wayne talking about Donald Trump on this show, but my producer, Jorge, dug it out from that same 2008 interview in honor of Wayne Barrett's 30th anniversary at the Village Voice. This is just a 10-second clip, but it indicates an interesting story that I think you know.
I lived in Ocean Hill, Brownsville for 15 years, right? And he says to me, Wayne, you don't have to live in Brownsville. You know, I have plenty of apartments for you, Wayne.
You know what the subtext there was, right?
I do indeed. It's a great story. Wayne was in the middle of his first stories writing about Donald Trump, who at that point was just the new kid on the block in terms of New York City developers trying to sort of elbow his way into the big leagues with the help of Roy Cohn and some of his buddies. And Wayne went out and interviewed him, and Trump was very open with him for at least initially until I think he realized this reporter was not really going to go away. And that's when this essentially bribe offer came. And when Wayne laughed and said, I'm very happy living in Brownsville, the next thing that happened was he started getting calls from Roy Cohn, Donald Trump's pit bull attack lawyer, saying, you know, we're going to sue you if you write something about him.
So first came the bribe, and then came the bribe attempt.
Exactly.
And then came the attacks when it didn't get Wayne Barrett off his back. What did we learn about Donald Trump from Wayne Barrett early on? How early did he write a book about Donald Trump?
His book came out in, I think it was 91, unfortunately, just at the time that Trump's Atlantic City casinos were failing. And Wayne was always very upset about the fact that the book was a flop because he said, well, Trump is a flop. Nobody cares about him anymore until, you know, the past 18 months when I think he, in a way, had the biggest season of his career because, you know, Wayne's a local guy. He wrote about New York. But all of a sudden, this national figure that everybody wanted to know about, there was one-stop shopping for trying to find out about the background of Donald Trump. And that was Wayne Barrett's basement in Windsor Terrace, Brooklyn.
Wayne was mostly concerned with public corruption. So most of his books were about politicians and most of his articles. So why did he bother with a book about a businessman anyway?
Well, because the business of New York is real estate, and real estate was the way in which Donald Trump was making his fortune, and he was doing it through his political connections, his campaign donations. He was right up Wayne's alley.
I know you want to talk about Wayne's collaborative style of reporting. What do you mean by collaborative?
Well, you know, a lot of people have written very wonderful things about how Wayne opened the doors of his home to let them in and to talk to them for hours about Trump over the past year or so. But, you know, that was Wayne's style. He did the same thing. He wrote two books about Rudy Giuliani. And he did the same thing when Giuliani was on the national scene briefly as a potential presidential candidate. Giuliani faded quickly, so it didn't become as big a deal as the Trump work did. But Wayne, you know, if I could try to figure out how many stories Wayne suggested or gave away or helped nurture, it would be, you know, dozens of times more than the ones he actually wrote. Wayne believed that we're all sort of involved in the common cause as reporters, which was to try to figure out ways to dig out the truth and get good stories told. And if he couldn't write it, he wanted you to write it. And I think a lot of people will tell you that their days might start early in the morning with a call from Wayne saying, I read your piece and you forgot to mention X, or you should look at Y.
I think people in journalism are divided right now as to whether journalism in a meaningful sense is on its deathbed or in serious decline, or whether it could be reinvigorated by the fire that people will fear to hold Donald Trump as president accountable. And I think we've seen some good examples already of investigative journalism, like with David Fahrenthold at the Washington Post.
Right.
Is there a new generation of Wayne Barretts?
Let's hope so. Look, one of the things that Wayne did that he spawned this incredible network of former interns. You know, Wayne's work, this is a guy who never owned a cell phone. You know, he relied on these interns who were all over the Voice, sometimes sitting on the floor literally because there wasn't enough space for them in his little cramped office. And today, those folks are, you know, hold down really big jobs in journalism. You know, Jennifer Gottman is a staff writer at The New Yorker. Matt Taibbi, who just wrote a wonderful appreciation in Rolling Stone, was a Barrett intern. Bill Bastone, who founded The Smoking Gun. Tim O'Brien, who edits Bloomberg. I mean, there's just scores of them. So, you know, the kind of old-fashioned gumshoe reporting that Wayne did is clearly replicable, and I think people are going to use it as a model.
Good. We've just got a minute left. The Times reported that Barrett's greatest professional regret was, quote, that I didn't write more positive pieces about the things Koch did well, particularly on building and renovating housing. Did he ever discuss these regrets with you?
Yeah, we did talk about that, and it was it was Neil Barsky's movie on Koch when Neil Barsky did that wonderful documentary about Koch a few years ago, and he came and really wanted – he got enormous help from Wayne again, just like folks did with the Trump book. You know, Wayne had all this great old archives of material about Koch, which he shared with Neil. And in talking about what Koch had done for the city, I think Wayne recognized that, like, in this last term – and, you know, after the scandals had caused so much damage, Koch did his best to try to build as many units of housing as he could.
You know, when we counted up the number of times, it's over 40 that Wayne Barrett was on the show. It isn't because we set out to have Wayne Barrett all the time. He just kept writing articles that added new things to the public conversation about New York. And before we knew it, we turned around and Wayne Barrett was on the show probably more than any other person. So Tom Robbins, now investigative reporter in residence at the CUNY Grad School, thank you very much for remembering Wayne Barrett with us.
Thank you so much, Brian.